I'm very happy now to welcome David Block. He is Executive Director of Youth Shelters here in Santa Fe. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much.
So you have taken over for Karen Rowell, who was director for many years of Youth Shelters. And Youth Shelters is an organization that serves basically homeless youth here in Santa Fe.
That's correct. And I have the good fortune of taking over from Karen, who did just an amazing job in developing Youth Shelters and Family Services into really a wonderful agency, focusing on homeless youth, runaway youth, and kids at risk. And we continue to have a number of services that we're providing to the community. We have our youth shelter, which serves kids that are in need of immediate alternative living housing for a number of different reasons.
Yeah, I think it's shocking and horrifying, and every time Karen has come in the past and every time we've talked about it, it still blows my mind, as I think it does most people, that there are so many young people, school-age children and teenagers who do not have a place to rest their heads at night.
Mm-hmm. And this could be for kids that are being abused in the home, neglected. There could be other kinds of crises in the home where they need a temporary, safe environment to live while other adults then begin to formulate a longer-term plan for them. So some of these kids are involved with CYFD, who's involved then in trying to determine what's going to be a long-term safe place for these kids. Some of the kids do go back home, but there needs to be some services mobilized for those families in order to make sure that the kids can be safe when they return home. And then some of the
kids... How do you do that? I mean, if you've got an abusive environment...
It's very difficult. Certainly in the short term, it's very difficult. If you have an abusive environment, that's going to be longer-term work, and it may be that a particular child needs to be out of that home for an extended period of time so that the family can receive the kinds of services that can help them become effective parents who can provide for a safe environment for their children.
Does that work?
Sometimes. Sometimes it does. It's possible that some parents have patterns of behavior that are dysfunctional, that can, in fact, be turned around with the right kind of treatment. And it certainly doesn't happen in all cases. But for some parents who are very committed to wanting their children back in the home, it can, at times, work where a child can be reunited with their families.
How much of a role does substance abuse play in all of this?
A very big role. What we see with so many of the kids that we work with is that their parents are struggling with substance abuse, and oftentimes it's multi-generational, and it makes for a very dangerous situation for the kids growing up in that kind of home environment. And then obviously the kids themselves then become highly susceptible to becoming substance abusers themselves and carrying on, unfortunately, what is a pattern of behavior that's incredibly destructive.
What are the most common substances that you see here in New Mexico?
Well, we see certainly alcohol, marijuana, methamphetamine, and heroin. And we're seeing more heroin of late, and a lot of kids putting themselves at tremendous risk of using a drug that potentially is lethal. We've certainly heard a few weeks ago about a couple of kids dying of overdoses. And it's very unpredictable when you inject yourself with a substance like heroin, what can happen. One of the good news pieces that's happening is that there's a substance called Narcan that is being used now to help reverse the effects of an overdose. And there are many providers, folks in the hospital, and even friends of addicts, family members of addicts that are now being trained in how to administer Narcan to save the life of a friend or loved one who has overdosed from heroin use.
It's funny to hear marijuana in that list with methamphetamine and heroin and so on, because, I mean, marijuana seems to be on a kind of fast track to legalization in so many places, and it's a question of how dangerous or harmful it really is. What's your perspective on that, especially where young people are concerned?
Mm-hmm. What I've seen in my career is that marijuana, regular marijuana use is harmful. I've seen it impact the level of motivation that kids have in attending school, taking care of the responsibilities that they have as young people to become successful. So I've seen negative impacts on motivation. I've seen negative impacts on empathy towards others. I've seen tendencies towards greater risk of depression. So I
really?
Think we're misleading ourselves in thinking that marijuana is risk-free, and particularly for young people whose brains are still developing. We don't fully know the long-term impacts of marijuana use, particularly chronic marijuana use.
And it's not one of those things where if the parents are openly using it, that they can really encourage their kids not to.
As a parent, you really destroy your credibility with your children around having them remain drug-free. If you yourself are using drugs in the home, and it becomes basically tacit approval for the kids to engage in the same kinds of behaviors.
And the same thing with alcohol, which is there's a funny line there, because, mm-hmm. I mean, when I was a kid, I was allowed to drink wine and so on, and uh-huh. as a result, never thought it was taboo.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a fine line there.
Right. I think parents have a responsibility to teach their kids how to consume alcohol in a responsible way. And for me, I mean, I have three sons of my own, and one of the things I did with them was they would often say, "Oh, come on, Dad, let me have a beer, let me just have a sip of wine," and I said, "No, that wait till you're 21 for you to use alcohol legally." And I just held the line there, and they also saw me, I mean, being a light drinker and using alcohol in a very responsible way. And a couple of my sons recently have said to me, "You know, Dad, we're really glad you held the line with us and didn't let us drink with you when we were 18 or 17.
Did they drink secretly?
Well, I suspect so. I suspect so.
Getting back to youth shelters, we're talking to David Block, Executive Director of Youth Shelters here in Santa Fe. You have some other programs which you were talking about for young people.
Yes. In addition to our emergency shelter, we have a transitional living program where we serve kids from the ages of 17 to 21. And the kids can stay with us for 18 months. So basically, these are homeless kids that in the absence of youth shelters, transitional living program being available to them, they would be on the streets homeless. And we provide a lot of case management services for these kids, job training services, and really help them develop the skills that they need in order to become independent, successful young adults moving forward. We have a street outreach program which serves probably 450 kids a year in Santa Fe. And two pieces to that program, we have workers go out on the streets and directly interact with homeless kids, provide a range of services to the kids on the streets, teach them how to be safe out there. And then we have a drop-in center where the kids can come and take showers, get food, clothing, medical supplies. We partner with Southwest Care Center as far as HIV testing. And the kids also have internet access with our computers so they can communicate with friends or loved ones, letting people know where they are. And also do job searches there. They get assistance with that as well. So we're very invested in trying to help kids stay safe when they're on the streets and also provide them with the necessary services, case management, referrals, to get the kind of help they need to get off the streets.
What kind of interaction are you seeing between homeless kids and homeless adults?
Well, what we find is that the kids tend to want to stay away from the homeless adults. There's a little bit of, I think, a fear factor there. And they're most comfortable with their peer group and staying close with their peer group.
Because otherwise, I mean, that's not a a role model that anybody is aspiring to.
Right, exactly, exactly.
So you've only been in Santa Fe for less than a year. You were in Wyoming before you came here.
That's correct. I was in Wyoming for 20 years.
What were you doing there?
Well, I was the my last position was executive director of the American Red Cross of Wyoming. And then before that, I was the executive director of an agency that was provided residential treatment services and shelter care to at-risk youth. And then I also worked for the state of Wyoming for 5 years as a manager of children's mental health services.
So how does New Mexico compare? What are you seeing that's similar and different from where you were before?
Well, New Mexico, like Wyoming, is a rural state, although you folks have Albuquerque. And in Wyoming, we Cheyenne is the largest city, which is only 60,000 people.
Right.
So, yeah, Wyoming is the only has 550,000 people total.
Wow.
So it's very, very sparse. And so we were challenged with providing quality services in a 96,000 square mile state. Trying to provide quality services became a challenge at times.
But yeah, just, I mean, having ways for people to get from point A to point B
was often difficult, right? And so certainly the rural challenges exist in New Mexico as well, but not to the extent that was true in Wyoming. That was far more rural. Even it's even considered a frontier state.
Yeah.
But many of the challenges that I see here, there's a lot of youth that are at risk of becoming homeless, engaging in very self-destructive behaviors, whether that's substance abuse, running away behaviors, violent behaviors, and seeing a lot of family dysfunction, where there's multi-generational problems as far as certainly in the area of substance abuse that we're seeing here. And so we have a very significant challenge in providing the kids with the kinds of skills needed to reverse negative patterns, embrace positive ways of living so that they can go on and be successful with their lives.
And ultimately, what's necessary is those kids leading the way to have a cultural change so that the next generation doesn't suffer the same, although that's very difficult to accomplish.
It's difficult, but we certainly believe at Youth Shelters that it's possible. That's why we're there. We are absolute optimists and very dedicated to maintaining an atmosphere of optimism as we work with the kids. We also believe firmly that a way to really create relationships with the kids so that they see us as adults that could be a positive resource is to have an atmosphere that is in, really rich in loving kindness. It's real critical that we approach them with a great deal of empathy and an attitude of loving kindness and deep respect, so that they can begin to trust us as a resource that perhaps can provide them with avenues that they then can choose to adopt a new lifestyle and then hopefully create pathways for themselves to a successful life.
So you have a great big grant that has just come through that you'll be using over the next several years. Tell us about that.
We were just awarded a $1.368 million three-year grant from the Department of Labor. And this grant will enable us to continue to provide services to kids that we have been over the last 3 years with another grant called the Civic Justice Program. But this is far more expansive. We'll be working with the school district and juvenile justice system to provide intensive services for kids that are at risk of dropping out of school or kids that have dropped out of school, and the school district now is trying to engage them in a new program. So we'll be partnering with the school district and partnering with juvenile justice to provide everything from tutoring services, case management, mentoring services, job placement services. So with the hope being that we can develop, again, pathways for future success for these kids. Our goal is over the next 3 years to impact 200 kids' lives.
You haven't been here long enough to see kids go through these kinds of changes, but do you have kids coming back who are maybe a little older now who have gotten on a good path?
Yes, we have. And we do. We definitely have kids that come back to say hi and to let us know how well they're doing. They're very proud when they're able to turn the corner and begin to create a positive life for themselves. And that's real exciting. I mean, they come in, they're feeling a great deal of sense of pride and accomplishment that they've been able to go from what was a very difficult place at one time in their lives, even homelessness, which is a place of desperation, to being able to now be self-sufficient, have a job, going to school, and being able to have an apartment and begin to take care of themselves. We also have some kids that are parents. And, you know, right now, say, for example, in the Transitional Living Program, we're serving a young person that's a parent. And so part of what we do, too, is teach parenting skills and how to help her become an effective parent so that her child can have a good life as well as herself.
The kids who come back and say hi and say thanks, they must be terrific role models for some of the younger people.
They are, and they certainly can be. And I think they provide a ray of hope for kids that are not quite as far along in the process as they are. And what we haven't developed yet, which I think is a future growth potential for our agency, is develop a peer mentorship type of program where the kids that have been out there for a while and have become successful, bringing them back into the program as partners of youth shelters to serve as mentors for the kids that are at an earlier stage.
So this big new initiative from the Department of Labor, why Department of Labor? What is their interest in this?
Their interest is to provide services to a very high-risk population that do not typically have great success in building successful careers. And they want to provide the kinds of services that will help develop pathways for successful work lives. So they recognize that the population, the high-risk youth population, is susceptible to long-term unemployment, and they want to be able to provide a range of services that can help turn the tide on that particular pattern.
I would think that one of the real challenges that you're facing is the challenge that so many people are facing, which is that there are fewer and fewer good jobs available. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of minimum wage work, and there's a lot of jobs that have been shipped overseas, and so even under the best of circumstances with loving parents and education, young people are having a hard time.
Mm-hmm. That's true. It is a very challenging work environment, but there seems to be opportunities out there, and through this program, we'll be working in partnership with employers and adult mentors that can help link the kids to job opportunities. We'll be working with the community college as far as helping the kids get through certification programs that would then enable them to be more employable as they go forward. So while it's going to be a challenging environment that they certainly enter, we believe there's opportunities out there, and our goal will be to ensure that they can take advantage of those opportunities and secure employment going forward and then build a stable life for themselves.
Now, you also have counseling services available. Is that correct?
Yes, we do. We have a community counseling center, and which serves children, youth, and families who who are homeless, at risk, or in crisis. And these services are free to the clients. And we have master's level licensed therapists available to provide these services. We have a particular expertise in working with what we call a trauma-informed manner. So we work with a lot of clients who have been traumatized in a variety of different ways. We have a great deal of expertise in working with clients who have gone through various kinds of trauma. And we are, I believe, quite skilled in that area.
The stories that you have heard, you probably can't tell them on the radio because there's confidentiality issues, but without giving any details away, what kind of things are you seeing that young people have gone through?
Well, there's really horrendous kinds of things that kids have gone through that are really quite unbelievable. I mean, there's physical and sexual abuse from very young ages. Horrendous levels of neglect. You know, kids not being fed properly, cleaned properly, and left alone, you know, at very young ages, cast away, thrown away. And so there's a lot of heartbreak that we encounter in this work.
It must be crazy for you, who's devoted your entire career to this, to just be going through that day after day, week after week, for decades.
Well, you know, after working for the Red Cross for 7 years, I decided to come back to it. And there's a great sense of mission, I feel, and the staff at Youth Shelters feels very strongly about that. If we weren't there for these kids, the question becomes, who would be there for these kids? And so we see ourselves as really a critical piece of the puzzle as far as creating a safety net for kids that have been terribly treated and need a lot of help to begin to reverse the damage of being traumatized and need a tremendous amount of emotional support and skills-based training to have a life that they are going to be able to feel good about.
David Block is Executive Director of Youth Shelters and Family Services in Santa Fe. They're on the web at youthshelters.org. Thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much. I appreciate your time.